Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and Ray Pritchard, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us, donning the Paisley shirt, thus his reputation.
I gotta keep up the reputation. Yep, I'm wearing the Paisley today.
You wear Paisley two out of five days, I would say.
I've got like three or four Paisley shirts that I kind of rotate in and out, plus some other ones.
Yeah. Do they have Paisley short sleeve shirts? Is that such a thing?
Sure. I think they do.
You got any in your closet?
Me? No.
Yeah, you got any Paisley shirts at all?
I have no Paisley shirts. I'm behind Steve.
I will send you some there, Ray.
You are the trendsetter, buddy.
Well, I would say to Steve, the 70s called and they want their shirts back.
Can't have them.
I don't even like the singer Brad Paisley. I mean, let alone shirts.
Like Brad Paisley?
It's the only guy with the last name Paisley. I do. So I just use it
I'm
as a joke.
On Steve.
Punchline.
Hey, and that's fine. As long
somebody
got
to keep, you know, Jesse Jackson said keep hope alive. And
says, that's all we're doing,
he says
folks.
Keep Paisley alive.
There you go.
All right. Well, again, thanks for listening to the program. Ed, if folks want to listen or watch on the internet, what can they do?
Well, if you want to watch the live video stream of this program, you have three options. You can go to Facebook, or you can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues on YouTube. You do have to search for Today's Issues Live, or you can go to
Is that what you have to type in on YouTube?
I think
Today's
so.
Issues Live?
I think so. Brent Creeley, our producer, is nodding. So,
okay.
Not nodding off like he usually does, but just nodding.
Don't buy it. That's
Ooh-wee.
Or Ed. You could go to our own streaming platform, Paisley at... No.
I can't hear you, Ed.
Streaming.
Your mic is off.
Streaming at AFA.net. Streaming at AFA.net.
All right. Well, January 4th. Hope you're keeping your New Year's resolutions.
I've kept mine this far.
Have you?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, joining us right now is Jenna Ellis, who's Jenna's on mornings, 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time on the American Family Radio Network with the radio program Jenna Ellis in the Morning. And Jenna, good morning to you.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
I guess Eastern Time Zone is your location, so good afternoon and Happy New Year. So you've been on the air with us a year now, right?
Yes. Yep. A year and a day, actually, according to the math of Adam and Devin, our great producers, which I trust more than my math. So we'll go with that.
The math of Evan. What'd you say?
The math of Devin and Adam, my producers.
They work
like
for
an
you,
Agatha Christie novel. The math of Devin.
The math of Devin and
I guess
Adam.
You change, huh? Okay, so anyway, so Jenna's been on with us now for a year. I'm just curious, you never did live radio before we got together, right?
Just as a guest, not as a host.
Right.
But, you know, so I did a lot of radio, of course, as a guest. But
right.
But yeah, I love the radio format. And to me, it's actually a lot better than television because... you actually have to have something to say. Unlike television, that's a lot more about the visuals and a lot of people keep it on in the background. It's a
right.
much more intimate conversation, and you can really drill down with different topics and so forth. So
right.
I've truly loved it.
Yeah. All right. So we invited you on. We were talking about New Year's resolutions. What's yours?
Well, you know, I actually tweeted this, and my New Year's resolution, which I know for a lot of people, our New Year's resolutions last maybe a day, maybe just, you know, the month of the free gym membership and all of that. So my New Year's resolution, though, is a little more serious, and it actually comes from Jeremiah 29:7, And it's to pray more for the welfare of our nation, regardless of anything that happens in 2024, the outcome of elections or global events. We're still looking at the conflict over in Israel and Hamas. And Jeremiah 29:7 says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." And this command from God was to his people as they were being taken captive by Babylon and sent into exile. And Christians feel a lot like strangers and exiles in our own country. And so we can learn from this to consistently and continually pray to the Lord on behalf of our leaders, even when they're evildoers or not our choice. And what we really need to coalesce around as Christians this year is not a politician or policy as savior, but the truth of God and his salvation. This world is not our home, but while we are here, we must pray for and seek the welfare of our nation.
Ed, that'll preach, won't it?
That will preach. Jenna, let me ask you this. You are a Christian woman. You're also politically conservative. How do you separate out the things that matter as a Christian from the things that you might believe are more wise politically, but don't rise to the level of being biblical? In other words, biblical things, it's often put this way, there are certain issues that drive fellowship and certain things that break Christians apart from one another. How do you personally kind of separate politics from your Christian convictions that you can't compromise on?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first and foremost, we have to be Christians, and that means that we believe in the inerrant, sufficient Word of God for the commands of God and also the counsel of God. So there is a difference between what we are commanded to do as Christians, like, for example, to meet as the church. We're commanded to be part of a church. That is something that we don't have an option on. That is what God commands. And to live rightly, to teach the truth of salvation, those things that the Bible commands, and also the prohibitions in Scripture that we cannot participate in as Christians. Then there is wisdom that God gives, and those are the things that should outflow from the truth of God, and as we apply the biblical worldview to, for example, politics and policy. And so we can debate those things. We can debate what's a good policy that is best pro-life, for example, who is the best candidate in the next presidential election, for example. Those are all debatable issues, but my political views should be formed from and informed by my faith. And so there is a difference between commands and prohibition versus wisdom, and we should be constantly seeking daily in prayer for wisdom for ourselves and also especially for our leaders.
I got a question for you, Jenna. How do you guard against when you pray for the welfare of the nation and you consistently see things that are going against the welfare of the nation? And maybe it's going to be the primaries, your candidate doesn't win, or the election, the Democrat gets elected, or all of the rest of the news we see of the country going the wrong direction, yet we're fervently praying for the health of the nation. Is God ignoring us, or how do you read all of that?
Well, that's where we go back to the Bible, and God answers prayer. He is not silent. He is there. And we also know that God in his sovereignty is ordaining and establishing this world and world events, but we also have free will, and every person who has a free will to ignore the counsel of God may suffer the consequences of that. And so we are, as Christians in America, we live under two different federal headships, if I can put it that way. We are in, as Christians, we're no longer in Adam. We're not in sin. We still have the fallen nature, but we are regenerated as Christians. God and Christ Jesus are our eternal federal headship. We are no longer in Adam. But on this earth, obviously, our federal headship in terms of nations and sovereignty is the United States. And when our leaders bring us to war, when they have bad policies, we may suffer the consequences of what our federal sovereign does in terms of nations. And that's why we are called to pray. And so God will consistently answer prayer, but he also, if we ignore his wisdom and counsel and our leaders ignore that, we also may suffer consequences for it.
So, Jenna, just to follow up on that, I mean, we have a problem. We look at Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. As conservatives, most of us conclude America would be better served if somebody else was in the White House starting in 2025. But we're commanded, we know, to honor the king. We're to pray for our leaders. I mean, it's right there in Jeremiah 29:7. Jenna, how do we pray for leaders with whom we find ourselves in fundamental disagreement?
Yeah, that is a great question as well. First, I think we need to pray for their salvation because we can't expect people who are not in the federal headship in terms of salvation and the biblical orientation of Christ to act like Christians. And they can maybe have some temporal wisdom that's under the doctrine of common grace. People can still choose some good things, but ultimately their whole orientation and worldview is not based and centered on the truth of God. So we need to pray for their salvation. We also need to pray for mercy for ourselves, that God would restrain evildoers in leadership. And I would personally put Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and that administration in that category. They are evildoers. They are allowing the entirety of the LGBT agenda to run rampant. They are advocating for evil policies that hurt not only freedom and liberty, but have specific harm for society and for individuals, for parental rights, for children, all of those things. And we can pray that God in his sovereignty would restrain that evil as long as his people are persistently praying. And that's also why we need to be engaged as good citizens here in America. This is the time and the place in the nation that God has called us to. You and I and everyone listening here in America, we are called to this time and place, and we cannot just separate and say, the culture is too far, we're just going to stay within the four walls of our churches. We need to be actively engaged as much as possible in perfecting and creating a more perfect union, because we actually have the ability in the United States to actively engage in our government where a lot of other countries right now don't.
And nothing says you can't do imprecatory prayers, is there?
Pardon?
Right.
Nothing says you can't do imprecatory prayers if you're praying for the president.
You probably need to explain what that means.
God, rain down your terror and your justice on these people.
Okay, what was the word you used, Steve?
Imprecatory. It's the imprecatory psalms are the psalms where
smite them.
Exactly.
Hip and thighs. Yeah.
Commence
them,
the smiting.
Okay, so blow them to pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still praying.
Be like King David. He prayed that a lot.
I'm still praying for my president.
Okay, Steve, I tell you what.
That doesn't count, does it?
as the president of this ministry, I will give you half a day off if you can spell that word without looking it up.
In oh, my goodness.
I-M-P-R-E-C-I-T-O-R-Y.
Wrong.
So close.
What was that?
C-A.
C-A.
It's an A instead of an I.
Gator, yeah. Sorry.
I gave you
so
a chance.
Hey,
half
I should have written it down.
Jenna and I spelled it right. Where's our half day?
Yeah, that's right.
Jenna's a lawyer. You almost went to law school.
The law is being held against me.
Yes.
What injustice.
Yes, I was very specific.
On this
I said, Steve. But I noticed how quick y'all were to pounce on him when he misspelled it.
That's right.
Wrong. Wrong.
We were rooting for him though. I was like, he's gonna get it.
I know.
Yeah.
I should have written it down. I didn't. It looks wrong with an I. I wouldn't have known that if I just bothered to write it down.
But again, the word is what now? The word is what?
Imprecatory.
It is harder to spell things out loud than write it down, because you have to see it in your mind instead of on the paper.
Yes.
So
yeah, I wonder if that's ever caused
a Wheel
of Fortune
contestant to fail. Of a day off for that, right? Like at least an hour, maybe.
Yeah, give me
like
a lunch. Give me a lunch.
Yeah, give him a lunch break for that.
Lunch.
Yeah.
That's right.
Take lunch starting at 12.
I'm gonna have my lawyer contact you, Tim. Make sure I get my lunch hour, Jenna. I'll call you later.
Jenna, so you can name your next dog that, Jenna.
Yeah, imprecatory.
You still have those two dogs that you brought here last time you were visiting us?
Absolutely, and they're getting so big. Yes, Todd and Copper, and they are actually had to use my mute button there in the beginning because they were barking at something. But
we heard them.
Yeah, oh, you did? Him. Okay. I wasn't quite quick enough. But no, they're doing great. And flew back from Colorado with me after the holidays.
What kind of dogs are they again?
They are little mini golden doodles. And you can follow them on Instagram, twodudes_Copper and Todd.
I'm just going to tell you, this is going to sound bad, but I just don't think a man can have a dog that's called a Would you call it? What kind of dog is it?
A golden doodle. See, now they're barking at you.
They don't like what you just said.
You just can't. Yeah. Guys just can't have.
I'm sorry.
Of course you can.
I have one.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, but you were Paisley.
You've got one.
You stepped in it, Ed. I'm telling you, this is what's wrong with this country. I'm just.
Too many doodles.
But
they are cute dogs, I will say. They are cute dogs.
Because you have golden doodles, you have Bernie doodles, you have Cavapoos, you have all kinds of...
Bernie doodles, isn't that guy who went to prison for stealing money? Bernie doodle?
Bernie doodle.
Thankfully, as a woman who knows what a woman is, I don't have to worry about that, and I can just be fully... Right. Open and secure in my golden doodles.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. All right. golden doodles.
That was one of my favorite cereals growing up. Man, just a bowl of golden doodles. I'm sorry. I'm getting right. way off target.
Well,
here.
Yeah, you are because this is a serious show, Ed. And, and when you do that kind of thing,
that's right.
I have a reputation.
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right, Jenna, thanks so much. And again, what's your Bible verse with your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, it's Jeremiah 29:7. But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. So a great example.
Amen.
From the Old Testament. Well, Happy New Year's to everyone.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
All right, take care of Todd and Copper. Todd and Copper. So Todd and Copper have their own Instagram.
They do. And I actually update that now more than my own because it's way more fun to have, you know, golden doodles than politics. So it's two dudes and it's you know, it's not the dude like what Ed thinks of. It's the dude like the golden doodle.
D-O-O-D.
So it's D-O-O-D. So Ed could have, you know, two dudes like D-U-D-E-S. That should be his
Instagram, different
right?
Instagram.
Yes.
Completely different.
So this is twodudes_Copper and Todd.
Okay. Well, give Copper and Todd a rub down, belly rub down for us and tell him Ed sorry. Him. To offend them.
they look totally dejected right now. Ed. Yeah. It's just sad. You're going to have to call them and apologize.
So you can think about
send a picture of
maybe
me.
Maybe you can think about that
think
hurtful
about
word.
That'll cheer them up.
Put him in the doghouse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that pun. Okay. Doodle on, Jenna. We'll see you.
Have a great day.
See you next
bye,
time. Bye-bye.
All right, yep. Steve, bring us back from that.
Well, I've got a quiz for y'all.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Yes.
Steve, you do have this same dog that Jenna has?
I do have a golden doodle, yes.
And Ray's got one, he said. Ray's
but not
one.
A golden doodle, an Aussie doodle. You know, the doodles come in a lot of variety. She named a couple. And
so this is why a doodle is a poodle that's crossed with something. So golden doodle is a golden retriever and a poodle. And a lot of people want to cross... breeds with poodles because poodles have hair that doesn't shed. They don't shed at all.
Oh,
they have hair, not fur. So if you're hypoallergenic or you just don't want to be cleaning up, you know, dog hair off of your clothes all the time, get a doodle.
Get a doodle.
And you get the best personality of the golden and the shedding ability of a poodle.
I like golden retrievers and Labradors. So an Aussie doodle is with combined with what?
Is an Australian Shepherd, basically a sheep herding dog with a poodle. And
so
brilliant.
Is it hyper?
Extremely. Okay. Probably more dog than we can handle, but we've had her for 4 years now. She's not going anywhere. She sleeps on the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Great dog.
How many pounds?
She weighs about 35, but she's got a bark at night. If anybody comes within 100 yards of our house at night, it's, you know, she's got the bark of a dog that weighs 150 pounds. She can, she can raise the dead when she's out.
That's probably good for you guys.
Dog. It's a layer of safety.
Yeah.
Well, I have an 11-pound Maltese.
Yeah.
Who
That like bark's not gonna fool anyone, is it?
No. When we're on our patio, we stay on our patio. Alice and I do at night a lot, most of the year. We rarely use our den. We go on our patio. We have a big screen TV out there, and behind our yard is the woods, forest, trees, and all kind of things. So our Maltese, I don't know. Dogs can see things at night that humans can't, right? And so that's the only character fault I have with my dog and his character is he will be a lap dog, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the patio with me on my chair. Be, you know, just what we'll be watching a ball game or talking to Allison or whatever, answering email, and everything's calm and quiet. And then he will see something out in the woods and leap off my chair and about 3 feet, you wouldn't believe it, and start barking his ever living head off. And it's, if you've ever had, we've all experienced peace and quiet broken by sheer terror, haven't we?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
By a kid falls down, hits his head or whatever. Right. But you don't know when it's coming. That's the thing about it.
Like a jack in the box.
Like, he's seeing squirrels or coyotes or I don't know what all's out there.
Now, he doesn't run towards the towards the woods.
Yeah, no. Yes, he runs toward it. But we have, thankfully, we have a fence.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
We have fencing. I don't know how to describe metal fencing that keeps him from going out and losing his life.
Yeah.
But he's going
after
Because
he only thinks he wants to go out there.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
In his mind, he's defending the home.
Right.
That's right.
Said squirrels or raccoons or whatever he's seeing. Whatever's out there in the dark, he's defending the home. His 11-pound self is defending the home against. But it's kind of one of those things that, you know, we're protecting him from himself.
Yes.
Right.
Kind of like a kid, right?
Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
I think we still got time for this largest. I know. Ray enjoys cruises, so I want to tell him about this new ship we
Who
got
doesn't?
Going on here.
So, Caribbean Cruise Lines has introduced, or they are putting to sail this year, the largest cruise ship ever.
They're going to sail it already?
They are. It's in Puerto Rico right now on its shaking out voyage. No actual customers, but
You mean SAIL?
Well, there's no sails. There's motors. But you SAIL on a cruise. You sail on a cruise.
We're ships in the night right there, Steve.
I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, it's almost 1,200. It's a little almost 1,200 feet long. It's about like six times longer than the Titanic. It has 6 water slides, 7 pools, 20 decks, room for 7,900 passengers or people, passengers and crew. And I think I read somewhere it has like 18,473 places to eat.
How many?
Well, speaking even.
What's the name of the ship?
Icon
of the Seas.
Okay, Ray, you've been on several cruises, right?
Yes, a number. Yeah, and I'm thinking we should do a Bible reading. We should do a Bible reading cruise, you know? Go out by one of those pools, have some Bible reading. Go to the evening buffet, have some Bible reading, you know? Have a little ministry cruise.
You know the general public's out there by the pool, don't you, Ray?
Yes, I do. That's why I read the Bible out there, you know?
We read the Bible out there to all of those drunks.
That's right. I love it.
I'm
serious.
That's all? That seems like that's small, 1,200 feet.
No, it's big.
It's long.
What is that? That's 4 football fields, right?
You got to see
that's
the picture
so
of this
many
thing.
People.
How many cruises you been on, Ray?
Oh, 6 or 7, something like that.
Wow.
Love
you
it.
You know, I've never been on a cruise.
You need to go.
You need to go.
I'm just thinking about the germs. Being in so close with all those people.
The germs are everywhere.
There's always a joy killer out there. Isn't there? Ed
Joy Killer. Yeah, that was my...
Ed the germaphobe.
Well, maybe I'll go on this one.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us today on the program. Trivia Friday tomorrow. We'll see you back here then.